Researchers have found evidence for a substantial underground cave on the moon that is accessible from the surface, making the spot a prime location to build a future lunar base. The cave appears to be reachable from an open pit in the Sea of Tranquility. This is the ancient lava plain where the Apollo 11 astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin first set foot on the moon more than half a century ago. Around this time, in fact, I'm joined on the line now by David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. And David, as always, good afternoon to you and you're welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
What exactly are we talking about here? Because it certainly has sparked excitement among those who deal with these issues, not least NASA.
Yeah, because one big problem on the moon, and we do plan to land astronauts on the moon this decade and ultimately have bases on the moon by the following decade. So the problem is radiation. We're protected by the Earth's atmosphere down here, but when we go into space, there's lethal radiation hitting you from all directions. Also, if you're standing in the sun, then you'll be at 100 degrees Celsius on the side that's facing the sun and minus 100 degrees Celsius on the side that's pointing away. So you need shelter, and you can take very expensive space stations or houses with you or find a cave, a naturally occurring enclosure that's ready built for you. And so people have been looking for caves on the moon. We thought they were probably there because we have lava tubes on the Earth that collapse to leave caves here. And we know there was lava flowing on the moon. And we think we've seen similar things on Mars as well. So the fact you find one now, not far from the Apollo 11 landing site, is appropriate enough for this month. And it looks like it's huge. It would well exceed what we certainly need for early moon bases anyway. So it's a very interesting discovery, proving that it's almost certainly one of thousands, if not millions, of caves on the moon itself.
The moon is a very hostile environment, and is this intended then to protect future explorers, primarily because the cave would act as a natural shelter against this harsh lunar environment?
Exactly. When you're under hundreds, even just meters of rock, you're protected from all the radiation from space. The Earth has a magnetic field, so radiation from the sun, which is not good for astronauts, certainly not long term, is protected by our magnetic field. So the nine astronauts we have on the International Space Station, which, by the way, is flying over every night this week, they're shielded by the Earth's magnetic field, plus they're in a metal canister as well. So it's not too bad there. But when you go deeper into space, you're not shielded by the Earth's magnetic field. The moon doesn't have a significant one like the Earth does. So you need rock to protect you. And being in a cave is an ideal place to go. It also protects you from the extremes of temperature, too. So it's a ready-built residence, if you like.
You said there earlier that humans will be returning to the moon. And in preparation for that, are space agencies now, I suppose, wondering how to access the structural stability of caves, reinforce their walls and ceilings to make sure that nothing catastrophic might happen once in use?
Yeah, well, there are moonquakes as well as earthquakes. They're not quite as violent as they are on the Earth. And these caves have probably been there for millions, perhaps billions of years. Moon surface is pretty inactive. This has a much thicker crust than the Earth. The smaller bodies lose their heat faster. So the moon has cooled down, being much smaller than the Earth, long before the Earth did. So we've got earthquakes and other things happening here, but they're not as common on the moon. So it's probably, if it's been there for that long, it's probably structurally safe, and relatively quick inspections would enable you to confirm that for sure. So, you know, early people lived in caves on the Earth. If we found caves on the moon, they're ready-built housing.
So just to develop that point a little bit, there's actually seismic activity on the moon, and then the cave would serve as an area, I suppose, for astronauts to retreat such sections of their cave collapse as a result of this movement or seismic activity.
Well, the seismic activity on the moon is trivial. The moon's crust is much stronger than the Earth because it's much thicker. Our crust is miles to tens of miles thick on the moon. If memory serves me right, it's hundreds, maybe even 1,000 miles thick. So the crust doesn't move around like it does on the Earth. You know, the surface of the Earth is fluid. So if you look at the Earth over periods of billions of years, it changes completely. The Earth resurfaces itself. That hasn't happened on the Moon. The Moon's surface, most of it, is 3 or 4 billion years old, and it will be like that for the rest of time. So the Moon's much more stable. There are minor moon quakes, so something's definitely happening on the Moon, but not much. And they even landed a rocket, crashed a rocket deliberately on the Moon after they set up seismometers on the Moon's surface to strike the Moon, because the waves of vibration going through the Moon actually tell you what's inside. One of the reasons we know how thick the Moon's crust is, because we had to crash our own things into the Moon to make moonquakes, if you like, on demand. But they're found naturally occurring ones, but they're nothing to worry about. It's just that the Moon's surface is pretty stable, is one thing to say. There's no water, there's no air, there's no erosion. Things just last there for millions of years.
Just in terms of attempting to visualize this, you know, getting into this pit, are we talking of descending towards the floor? How steep is it? Would there be loose debris? Will little movement send down avalanches? You know, what are the risks?
Yeah, well, from this first confirmed moon cave, we don't know the exact details yet, but it does seem to have pretty sheer steep sides over 100 metres deep, so that will swallow up the tallest buildings in Ireland, give you some idea of scale. So you're going to have to abseil down. Or remember, the gravity on the Moon is 1/6 that it is on the Earth, so going up and down is not as difficult as it is on planet Earth. There's probably material at the bottom. The whole lunar surface seems to be covered in this fine, almost powder-like surface, which is probably the result of billions of years of micrometeorites pounding the surface rock and slowly, over very long periods of time, pulverizing it. Something that doesn't really happen on the Earth. It's completely different geology here, even though the two bodies are made of much the same stuff, because we think the Moon came from the crust of the Earth after a big impact soon after the Earth was formed. And this is just the first cave. So even if steep cliffs are not what you're looking for, you'll go surveying caves when you're ready to have moon bases, and you'll hopefully find one that comes in at an angle. They said in the article that they're actually similar to the caves on Lanzarote. Now, I've been through those caves on Lanzarote. They're lava tubes on a bus. I'm sure lots of people listening have as well. And, you know, if you find one of those that comes out on the surface at a shallow angle, that would make a much better cave. And as well as all that, the first moon bases are likely to be near the poles of the Moon. The south pole of the Moon seems to have water mixed in with the crust of the Moon itself. So you could extract that water for human purposes, for fuel as well. And if you find a nearby cave with a nice sloping entrance, then you would have the perfect site to set up a moon base without having to bring one with you from the Earth, which would cost an absolute fortune. And you know, we're expecting the first crew. They've already sent the rocket around the Moon that's going to take people there, the Artemis mission. The second mission, people who have been looking at the cover of Astronomy Ireland magazine will have seen the Artemis 2 crew have already been named. They're, I think, going up next year, about a year's time. And then after that, they will just go around the Moon, so people will have gone back to the Moon and not landed. And then the third mission, about a year or so after that, they're going to land. And it'll be missions after that, then, that will start to look for sites for lunar bases.
So what would the timeline be, then?
Well, the plan is in the 2030s to have a lunar base, which is a staging point, a stepping stone, to Mars. Mars is a bit more habitable in that it's bigger, so it's got more gravity. It can hang on to a bit of an atmosphere. And the Moon is very stark and bleak. It's just way too small, an 80th of the mass of the Earth, to hold on to any air that you might put there. But if you can get, there's even plans that are ways. It takes centuries to terraform Mars. Big environmental question is, should we be doing that to a planet? Should we find any life on Mars? We would basically wipe it out just to make it suitable for human colonization. In today's politically correct world, that seems a little bit problematic, to say the least. It'd be like trying to convert the Antarctic into a big housing zone. It's currently a protected zone. Maybe Mars will be in the future, but everybody's got their sights on Mars, the Chinese, the Russians even. certainly the European Space Agency and the USA. So there's going to be a space race to the moon and Mars. And so many countries are already landing on the moon. No? We've reported recently on India landing on the moon, China. The Russians, of course, have done it. To get people onto the moon, so far it's only been the Americans. But, you know, in our lifetime, you can expect to see many other nations walking around on the surface of the moon, if not having moon bases, and maybe having them in these kinds of caves.
And just in relation to that, I just mentioned in my introduction there, David, that around this time, was it 55 years ago or thereabouts, I think it was the 15th or 16th of July, Apollo 11 astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin first set foot on the moon, which was an extraordinary occasion.
Absolutely. I've been lucky enough to meet both of them, the first two moonwalkers. I met some of the other 12 people that walked on the moon ultimately. Most of them, unfortunately, have passed on. But Neil Armstrong was delighted to tell me he'd come to Dublin in 2003. We interviewed him, had a one-on-one meeting with him. I got to shake probably the most famous man in the history of civilization's hand, as a highlight of my career. And he was delighted to tell me they had just done the family history. And only about two generations before him, his family had come from County Fermanagh. So he's an Irishman by ancestry. And recent ancestry of that, because Armstrong was born in 1920s anyway. So his relatives hadn't come over much longer than after he was born. So he was an Irish-American and very close to being almost pure Irish. And I think it's great to tell school kids this, you know, that even people of Irish ancestry can be huge figures in the history of the human race.
And just in relation to space exploration, I think it's fair to say that when that happened all those years ago, it was expected that the level of space exploration would be much more dramatic than it's been. And is there any particular reason for that?
Yeah, I mean, July the 16th was the day they launched the moon. 55 or 65 years ago. It's so long ago, I've lost track. And 55 years ago. And July 20th is the date they landed on the moon. So it only took a few days to get there. And the reason it happened was because there was a Cold War in space. The Americans and Soviets at the time were racing each other to see who got to the moon first. And although it was Armstrong and Aldrin, they only just barely made it. They had 20 seconds of fuel left when they landed on the moon surface, nearly had to abort the landing itself. And the Russians had launched a few months earlier their own moon rocket, and of course it had a catastrophic failure. Had it succeeded, the first and most famous human in history and first person to walk on another world could have had a Russian name instead of an Irish one.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating, no question about that at all. What's happening currently with Astronomy Ireland, David, to finish?
Yeah, there's a huge event coming up next month. At the end of the month, we have our annual star party, where we set up telescopes, giant telescopes, in the Wicklow Mountains for everybody in the country to come and look at the wonders of the universe. The star attraction this year will be the planet Saturn, but there's galaxy star clusters like you've never seen them before. A big professionally catered barbecue talks. We have an astronaut speaking this year. It's all on astronomy.ie, the website. And if you get your tickets before July 31st, they're actually going up in price by 50% because we have to tell the caterers how many people are coming. So go to astronomy.ie, bring the whole family, book your tickets now at the early bird rate, and we'll see you all on August 31st for views that you just won't believe. And as on top of that, then, there's the best shooting star shower of the year on August the 12th, as if to advertise events. So August is going to be a huge month for us. So astronomy.ie has the details. And, you know, if you're not getting the Astronomy Ireland magazine, do. It's got all these stories and lots more besides.
Very good, David. Your enthusiasm is infectious, I have to say. We leave it there. David Moore, Chairman of Astronomy Ireland, as always, many thanks indeed for joining us on the programme.